What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Thank you, Luke. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Happy lunchtime, everybody. Scott Anderson, you got big plans for later today? Just a little Tiger baseball.
A little Tiger baseball, but there are a couple errands I have to run after the show.
Yeah? Does that include the range?
It might, actually, because one of the things I need to do is I need to get a new golf bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably run up to Carl's and see what they got.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. And it's a good day to hit the range, I think.
Yeah, see how that new golf bag does for
right,
you.
Right, right, right. But, yeah, well, I mean, it's a little cooler. It's supposed to heat up a little bit, but I wonder if it's going to be humid or not. But all these ranges now, I think at Carl's anyway, they have all TrackMan and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's great. It's really cool. It makes it a little bit more fun because you can see your spray chart.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if I trust the yardages on it, but the trajectory and all that stuff, and where the direction of where it's going, I do like to see that.
Yeah. All right. So I saw something driving into work today. It's the second time I've seen this out in the wild, and I just think it's the coolest thing. I was driving into work, and I was going through Farmington. And I was rerouting because there's three construction zones between my house and work.
Right.
So I'm on surface streets driving through a neighborhood. There's a little wooded area to the right, and out darted a fox.
Oh, fox are cool.
And at first I thought it was a dog, a small deer, and it just ran across the road and stopped. And I pulled up and I stopped. There was no traffic around. And it just turned and looked at me, and I looked at him, and I'm like, you are so freaking cool. And it's the second time I've seen a fox out in the wild. The other time I was playing Boyne Highlands, mm-hmm. the Arthur Hills course, and I was on number 14, back nine of the Arthur Hills, which is jammed between two par threes. There's the one impossible par three that's got the giant swale down to the right, and then there's the shorter par three with the waste bunker the size of Rhode Island on the left. Well, in between, there's a par four, and I was standing on the green looking back up towards the tee box, and a fox just ran across the front of the green from one wooded area to the other. And I'm like, God darn it, these things are cool.
They are cool. They're cool as hell. It's been a couple years since I've seen one. The last time I saw one was also on a golf course playing at Shepherd's Hollow up in Clarkston.
Yep.
Saw one there. I love them. I think they are, they're cool. They're cute. They just seem
sleek,
awesome.
Sleek. They're red.
Yeah, it's like...
Or I guess they're more like orangish, but...
Yeah. They're like a cooler version of a raccoon, and I love myself a raccoon.
I don't see any comparison between a fox and a raccoon.
Oh, I think they're both about the same size.
Huh.
Maybe I get some big raccoons I've seen.
I mean, you must. I mean, I see foxes more like a big dog. A raccoon's more like a rat.
Foxes aren't that big. I don't think they're as big as a coyote.
No, I mean, it's not. But I would just, Kang, have you ever seen a fox out in the wild?
Only every time I look in the mirror, Doug.
Look at you.
Oh, this guy.
Well done. Yeah. Well played, sir.
No, I can't recall the last time I've seen a fox, but I have seen one in the wild. It's different because out here in Michigan, you see deer all the time, right? Now you see, I feel like you see wild turkey even more than before. Am I wrong about that?
Wild turkey everywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
I saw a gang war
what?
By my parents' house, by my mom's house last week.
Some turkey stepping?
Well, their neighborhood is overrun by turkeys.
Is it some jive turkeys?
Well, now we had a turf war because...
Easy. Easy, my man.
Hey, whoa.
Cross the line.
No one called anyone a JT. But not only were the wild turkeys, but then the Canadian geese came in.
Oh.
And they were on opposite sides of the street. And I'm like, this is the most awesome thing I've seen in my life.
Yes.
It's going to be a rumble.
I hope they all lose.
I just wanted to park the car there and watch it, you know, but I had to get back to my mom's house. But I do enjoy that.
It's such a little kid thing to say, but I had to go home to mom.
I had to go back to mom's. Had to help mom.
I was late for dinner.
Yeah. I got yelled at. Yeah. Come on. All right. Here we go.
The street lights came on. I got on my bike and left.
You know who on Instagram who's always got stuff going with a fox? Kate Beckinsale.
What do you mean?
The actress. There's apparently by her house, there's like a fox that comes into her courtyard and she hand feeds it. Comes right up to her. And she's.
Wow.
The thing's basically docile.
Just a cool awesome. Foxes are very cool. I'm a big fan. Every time I see one, I'm like, God, that's the coolest animal. And they don't let you look at him long, too. They're like, I couldn't believe I had to like stare down. He got across the road and he stopped and he looked over his shoulder and I'm like, hey, what is
said, take up? A picture to last longer. And he kept going.
Yep.
Because he's cool.
The one on the golf course was out of it.
They always call it foxes like sly, right?
Yeah.
A sly fox. Yep.
248-539-9797. Mike's in New Baltimore, and he's on 97.1. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're great.
Good to hear. Hey, if you guys want to see some foxes, go to Golden Hawk Golf Course on the 7th hole. There's a pack of 4 of them. There's a little den there, and every time you golf there on the front 9, you'll be guaranteed to see at least one of them.
What is the name of the course?
Golden Hawk Golf Course.
Golden Hawk.
Yeah, off of 94 towards Fort Huron.
Okay. Is that Thumb?
Yep.
Are you getting up by the Thumb?
It's between Sterling Heights and Sarnia.
Okay.
Up along there you 94. Go.
Yeah. Number 7 at Golden Hawk as foxes, huh?
Yes.
Sweet.
Just north of New Baltimore.
Is there anything cooler?
No, it's awesome. They'll come out. I mean, they're very friendly. Obviously, you can't pet them, but they'll come right up to your ball. You'll wait a few minutes and... yeah, if you like foxes, you'll really enjoy it. It's really cool, especially if you got kids with you that, you know, that are a little bit younger, teenagers, you know, early teens. That, yeah, you can rarely do you see a fox, but I'm in a league there every week, and I see them every week. It's really cool.
Very cool. Thank you, Mike. 248-539-9797. Anyway, so Gator, last night, Tigers 10-0 win over the Astros. It was awesome. Back in the top spot in the American League, 4.5 clear of Houston now. And if Houston's in the third spot, Detroit's actually in the top spot. So it's now Toronto is in the reel in position. Houston looking to reel in Toronto, not reel in Detroit. Tigers 8.5 in front of Cleveland and 8-3 in their last 11. Top of the 5th inning, I can't remember who was at the plate. I got to look it up. Dylan Dingler. Framed a pitch on a called strike 3. He must have moved it a foot. And the funny thing about it is, I was told that major league catchers can get away with about a quarter turn of the glove. Like you can catch it and make about a quarter turn. You know, if it's low, you can quarter turn it up. If it's high, you can quarter turn it down. But like you can't do a half turn, you just a little quarter turn. He moved it a foot. And the umpire rang him up.
If it was Smith or Melton, Smith led off the inning.
I don't know if anybody saw this. It was a pitch was down and away. I mean, maybe we could look at if you got the like the inning by inning in front of you. Was it down and away? It was down and in. And Dingler went down and just yanked it up into the middle of the strike zone. So, look, I just got done coaching kids baseball. And what's hysterical is when catchers are like 10 or 11 years old and they first find out about framing pitches, they will try to frame everything.
Right.
Because they just think it's the coolest thing. And catchers will like come out of their stance and catch one above the batter's head and then drop back into the stance like it's like it's a strike. Or they'll get one out of the dirt and frame it. It'll be 2 feet outside. They'll frame it. I don't know if I've ever seen a major leaguer actually attempt to pull a pitch from well out of the strike zone into the middle of the strike zone. I don't know if I've ever seen an umpire fall for one that bad.
This, at least according to the graphic on this.
Yeah.
If the first batter was Smith and he struck him out looking, but all the strikes were in the strike zone. Melton, who was an ex-batter, struck out looking on the seventh pitch of the at-bat, and the pitch was in the lower outer quadrant, but still was a strike. And this is the problem that I have with the framers, because I think this is what you're talking about. It's so exaggerated with how much he moved it up. It's like it was a strike to begin with. You didn't have to exaggerate it that much.
Well, this one wasn't a strike. This one was not a strike. Like the cartoon box, it was outside the cartoon box.
Yeah, because cartoon box is here, and the fifth inning are showing that everything was a strike.
Let me tell you, it was not. And I'd have to go back and look. I think it was Melton. I think he was the batter, and they called it a strike. And I guess, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen one exaggerated that much. And Dingler got away with it. JT in Detroit, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, JT.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
Yeah, my comment is my observation was Dingler was getting away with that for the entire nine innings. It was funny because he certainly was exaggerating some of those frames. But then both catchers, when they didn't frame and the ball was outside the box, those pitches were being called strikes. So that was an odd strike zone all night long.
Yeah. Well, the one, I don't know if you saw the one I was talking about to Melton in the top of the fifth.
I did see it, and I think you're correct that it was Melton at the plate.
And he stopped. He, like, stopped and looked again, a tight shot at his face, like, are you kidding me? But hey, it worked.
Yes, it did.
It worked.
All night long.
It was a lot of good that came out of that game. Let's get to it at 12:16. Are you going to eat that at 12:35? Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket. Hey, on Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day. So if you've been looking at a futures bet, like I'm looking at K-State to make the playoffs, that's one of my little future plays, you can get good odds, 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. You can take a flyer on an MVP, you can crown a champion, division winner, conference winner, dark horses, market calendars, you can parlay your division winners if you so choose. This is your day for hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bets now, because FanDuel's Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Tigers 10-0 win last night.
I'm sorry, what was it?
10-0 win last night.
10?
Yep.
Huh.
Back to playing better and back to the comfortable lead in the American League Central. I'm just seriously hoping that they can hang on to one of these top two spots in the American League because of that first round bye and setting up your pitching. I think the Tigers are the type of team with such a top-heavy rotation with Skubal. And, you know, I don't know that it's Skubal and then everybody else. I really love the way Flaherty pitched last night. He gave up a double and a bunt single to start the first. So it was a strikeout, double, bunt single, stolen base, strikeout, walk, strikeout. It was a huge escape early in the game for Jack Flaherty. And after that, he gave up two base runners the rest of the way. One by hit by pitch, one single that was wiped out by a double play. From the second to the seventh inning, Houston had two base runners. All other Tigers were exploding for 10 runs. Took a minute to get there. Tigers loaded the bases with nobody out in the sixth. And Arrigetti got a strikeout and a double play to get out of it. But then Wenzel Perez changed the game with an elite at bat. He falls behind 0-2. The at-bat ends up going 10 pitches. He yanks two with home run distance, fouled on the right field line. One just foul. And then he straightens it out and hits a bomb to right. In an awesome moment, a great at-bat, and the Tigers, that kind of opened the floodgates after that.
We've seen some crazy at-bats over the weekend. I think Torkelson had one game he ended up seeing like close to 40 pitches in the game. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of at-bats that went beyond 10 pitches, end up walking. And I think it's a good sign because for a while we saw the Tigers not being very patient at the plate, getting bailing out the other team's starting pitcher, swinging early with weak swings. But working the count is so much better for this team. It just sets everything else up what they need to do. This team attacks and destroys other teams' bullpens. And to get to the bullpen, you've got to knock the starter out. And there's no better way to do it than just, you know, watching 25, 26, 28, 30 pitches in an inning just eat them up. And guys are starting to walk now that don't walk. Like, Kerry Carpenter had a couple walks.
Yeah.
He doesn't draw walks, and he's starting to walk. And because teams are starting to realize, can't pitch to Kerry Carpenter, he's too dangerous, let's pitch around him or be very careful with him. And now that he recognizes that, he can lay off some of these pitches and find himself on base. And as we've seen, well, the Tigers have plenty of home run power. If they get base runners, Green can knock in with a dinger. Torkelson can. Dingler can. And obviously, Wenzel Perez and others can do it.
From Twitter, Mike tweets us, Doug and Gator, do you think that Trey Sweeney heard that guy's text yesterday saying he's nothing but a decent softball player at best? You mean this text? My chump is AJ Hinch for playing Trey Sweeney, who is terrible. My champ is Trey Sweeney for living the ultimate dream of an okay softball player getting a chance to play major leagues, even though you're not a major leaguer. Signed, Sam in West Bloomfield. Look, AJ tries to play every card he has. It's helped this team get where they are. He's only going to try and play guys in situations that he thinks benefits them. He doesn't have a set nine. It's rare that they have the same lineup on back-to-back nights. Trey will play. If he's part of the big club, he's going to play against some right-handed pitchers. He tripled and homered last night. Do I think he heard that guy? No. Do I think that guy, you know, do I think that Trey Sweeney's a great player? No, but I think he's been a useful piece at times. Do I build my lineup around Trey Sweeney hitting third? No. Do I think he might get replaced when, say, a Parker Meadows gets healthy and Javi Baez, he might take some Javi Baez innings away in center field? Maybe. But in the meantime, I kind of trust AJ.
Yeah,
I trust AJ.
He pushes the buttons very well on his team. And, you know, one game doesn't change a season there for Trey Sweeney, but it was a great game for him last night. It was good to see. And even more satisfying when you get called out by somebody like Sam West Bloomfield. But the other thing is, you know, Trey Sweeney's playing because what you brought up. With Parker Meadows out, they've got to change lots of things around, whether it's Wenzel Perez playing center field or Javi Baez playing center field. But when you have a right-hander on the hill and you want that left-handed heavy lineup, you've got a decision to make between Trey Sweeney or Zach McKinstry. Last night they said, we're going to go with Trey Sweeney, and it paid off handsomely. Now, unfortunately, these are two guys in Zach McKinstry and Trey Sweeney that are struggling to hit the baseball right now.
Yep.
Great game for Trey last night. I hope he can back it up if he's in the lineup tonight. Wouldn't imagine going to take a guy out and hit a triple and a home run last night and facing another right-hander on the hill today.
Good to see a big home run from Riley Green. And I felt like a cathartic moment. Look, he's slowly coming out of that slump, walking a little bit more. The swings and misses aren't as bad as they have been. But that home run, he absolutely annihilated that baseball. And, you know, there are not a ton of players on this team that kind of have to play well for them to win, because they've kind of won in a lot of different ways. But to be the best version of themselves, to really be the team like they look last night, it's hard to imagine them doing it without getting the most out of Riley Green.
They got a trio right now that has emerged in the month of August that has been dynamic. And we know what Kerry Carpenter has been spectacular in the month. And he's been great since he's come back after missing some time with being injured. But Carpenter has a 10-10 OPS. He's hitting .283, but a 10-10 OPS. You look at Wenzel Perez is hitting .340 for the month with a 10-27 OPS. Colt Keith is hitting .354 in the month with a 1043 OPS. That triumvirate of players is helping to carry the offensive load for this team, which allows for Riley Green to get back on track. And Green had the big hit last night, and Green has been better over the last week. It allows for, you know, you're going to get the every couple games, Torque is going to hit the Torque bomb. And Spencer Torkelson has been remarkably consistent this season, but allows him to have his moments when he needs to. Dylan Dingler having his moments when he has. But these three players have really led the way. And because they're, you've got three, well, two guys are left-handed and the other one's a switch hitter, you're going to see a lot of at-bats for these guys. And in both games against that remain against Houston, I think Houston has right-handed pitching remaining. So we're going to see them quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm just looking up Torque in his on-base percentage because it feels like he's been on base.
He's
just
walking more, yeah.
Yeah, he's just getting on base at a high rate, and it's great to see. And that was something he was billed to have an elite eye for the strike zone. So,
And to that point, his on-base percentage for the month is .371.
Okay.
While he's been hitting .267, so more than 100 points better than his batting average.
There you go. And one thing that's starting to happen, you have to wonder a little bit about with this team, is the trade deadline. They kind of took a scattershot approach and didn't go big. And yet when it comes to bullpen arms, Kyle Finnegan has been very good. Dude they got from Cleveland that's hurt that we haven't seen yet.
Sewald.
Thank you. There's Jose Urquidy that could still come and help. But as you sit here and you say they didn't do anything big at the trade deadline, I would say that Scott Harris is probably relying a little bit more on guys like Alex Lang, who made his debut last night. And you can see why they're so enticed and why he was so good before. He's always been a strikeout guy. In his time in Detroit, no matter the season, if he threw 60 innings, he had 87 strikeouts. Or if he threw 100 innings, he had 120 strikeouts. He was getting a lot of strikeouts. And, you know, that's what people say this team has been lacking at the back end of the bullpen. Dare we wonder if Finnegan, Troy Melton, who had a clean inning last night, and Alex Lang emerge a bit as this year's, you know, Troy Melton maybe is this year's Bo Brisky. Finnegan is maybe this year's Holton. And Lang, I guess, could be this year's Lang. He's been good for them in the past.
And Vest is still Vest.
And Vest, are they suddenly finding a bit of a bullpen here?
Well, I'm really encouraged by Troy Melton. He pitched really well in the minors all year long, high strikeout rate, and getting a chance to pitch and hopefully higher level leverage situations this year because he's been dynamite aside from the first start that he made this year where he got lit up. After that, he's given up one run the rest of the way. He's going to have a bad outing here and there, but for right now, he looks as good as it gets. High 90s fastball and, you know, brings it with other secondary pitches that can get you out. He's very good.
Well, it definitely is an encouraging stretch of play here for the Tigers, winning 8 of 11, chance to win the series against this Astros team tonight, who had to be coming to Detroit thinking, we got to win this series. Now, that's if they wanted to be one of the top two seeds. They're still battling for the division out west with the Seattle Mariners. Another edition, Are You Gonna Eat That, coming up today at 12:35 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Doug Hirsch, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. I want to thank our listeners who have tweeted us. As mentioned, I was driving into work and I saw a fox the other day, and I just think they are the coolest animals anywhere. Paul Zinski sent us two pictures of a fox. I assume he's saying, he said, I heard the call from New Baltimore. I've been to Golden Hawk. He's not lying. And there's two pictures of foxes out on the course. Dave Thomas, this past Sunday, this dude followed us for a few holes, wasn't scared of us at all. And it's a fox that's apparently followed him for a few holes. I think they are really cool. I'd be wondering why they were following me. Am I getting stalked? Foxes don't like attack or anything, do they?
No, I think they typically would be skittish if they see you.
Yeah, that's my experience.
Do you guys know what sound a fox makes?
No.
Gator?
I don't know. Is this going to be a dad joke? Or you
no,
actually
I'm serious.
It does sound like a setup
for a dad. It's a setup for a dad joke, it sounds like.
I have no joke.
No?
Just a question.
Just a question?
Do they bark?
They don't bark. That I know.
Are they mute?
No, they make noises.
Do they?
What's the noise?
Scott?
Like if I said right now, hey, what sound does a horse make? Go ahead, Doug.
I'm not going to do that out of the air.
All right, what sound does a pig make?
Hey.
What, but do you have
oink,
an idea?
Oink.
All right.
Yeah, you're
a
right.
Cow? Okay. Yeah. Moo, right?
Yep.
Fox.
What?
You guys are so scared right now. I'm trying to ask a question.
That's such a payoff.
No, that's not it.
You don't think so?
You sound like a small child straining to lift something heavy.
Let me see here. Oh. I'll find something.
Do they yip? What do they do?
They might yip. What is this?
What the hell is that?
It's like a hawk.
That's a fox?
That's a hawk.
No, it's a fox.
That's a bark.
That was a bark.
There was a little yip there.
So what did you find this on YouTube?
I just Google searched it.
You actually were bad.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah. Gator makes a decent fox sound. All right, you ready for another edition? Are you going to eat that?
Yes.
All right, here we go. These are new items that are available out there, and interested in how interested Gator would be, and Kang for that matter. Like Culver's. Been to a Culver's?
Once in my life, and it was at a drive-thru.
Once?
Just once.
I've never been to a Culver's.
Oh, I've been to Culver's. Recently, too.
All I did was get a milkshake, and it was great.
Well, they got a new dessert. They are mixing cereal brands with their smooth, creamy, textured, fresh, frozen custard.
Okay.
Calling them cereal concrete mixers.
Okay. All right.
They make them with Cocoa Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but I'm most intrigued by the Lucky Charms concrete mixer. Frosted oats and colorful marshmallows meet frozen custard for a treat that takes magically delicious to the next level. When mixed with the frozen custard, the flavors create a level of nostalgia that takes you back to the feeling of being a kid watching Saturday morning cartoons. Gator, will you go to Culver's for the Lucky Charms concrete mixer?
Why didn't you ask me if I go to Culver's for the other two? Why has it got to be the Lucky Charms one?
Because I got like 9 things to get through, so I only wanted to do one.
I mean, yes, I would, but I'd prefer the others. Cinnamon Toast Crunch sounds great. Cocoa Puffs sound great. Lucky Charms good.
So, and that's the other thing, is I try and find the one that you wouldn't eat. But you would eat all three.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Cheerios, so I like the oats. I do. And, you know, you're going to add it with the marshmallow goodness. Yeah.
Can you try this?
Yeah, I love Culver's. Everything Culver's is good. I'm in.
I'm interested.
Oh.
I'm interested.
It's good enough.
I might be changing my parameters for what makes me get desserts.
Are you sure you can't make a horse noise? That was a payoff.
And if I was going to do this, I would go with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch mixer. But
okay.
All right, next up, Gator. So that's 3 yeses. Next up, Nectar Juice Bar has come out with a juice called The Glow. Cold-pressed juice with cucumber, orange, pineapple, spinach, kale, and cilantro. Starts at $6.50 for a 12-ounce bottle. Gator The Glow from Nectar Juice Bar. Are you going to eat that?
I'm not paying $6.50 for 12 ounces of juice. I'm sorry. That's not happening. When there's no liquor in there, that's no.
Kang?
That's not juice.
I mean, kale?
What is that? What the hell is
kale,
that?
Kale, spinach, and cilantro to go with the fruits?
What is it? It's fantastic, and I will go enthusiastically see if I can find a Nectar juice bar and get a hold of this juice.
Would I pay that much for it?
Sounds good. I don't love the price, but I get it.
The price is awful.
Yeah. I'll be making the noise Gator was making earlier.
Nectar juice bar. Nice job. Next up, Skittles is coming out with Gummies Fuego, a sweet and spicy matchup. You know, the swicy thing we've talked about. Come more mainstream. Each pack of Skittles Gummies Fuego features five bold flavors: mango, watermelon, strawberry, raspberry, and lemon, all coated in a tangy chili layer. The texture remains true to the gummies fans know, but the chili dust adds a peppery kick that builds as you chew. Gator Skittles spicy gummies. Are you going to eat that?
Yeah, I try that out. I don't mind the aggressive mango.
Would apply. Gator's a yes. Can you?
I'm out, man. I just want my candy to taste sweet. I don't need the spicy stuff.
Yeah, I'm out on this one, too.
I'm just curious about it because I wonder if it's going to be anything like a cinnamon hot, even though it's a chili hot.
What was the one, the old one? There's Mike and Ike's or whatever, yeah. Right? And there was a hot one, right?
Hot tamales.
Hot tamales. Yeah. Okay, that's what it was. Love was it those. Hot or was it cinnamon?
Oh, well, that was cinnamon. It was hot.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like the fire stick. See, you got Jolly like, Rancher fire stick.
See, I don't like Mike and Ike's. I stayed away from hot tamales.
So you're a yes on these, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Enthusiastic yes. Kang's a no. I'm a no. All right, next
you're a
up.
No. I thought you might try the spicy.
No.
It's the candy part.
You know what Doug says to that?
Next up,
nay. Doug says nay.
Next up, Gator, they're looking to improve our toothpaste.
Oh, great.
King's College in London have identified a substance that can protect against decay and repair early stage damage better than fluoride. It is found, that substance is found on top of your head. Keratin, a protein in human hair, skin and nails, and the wool of sheep, forms a dense mineral coating that mimics the structure and function of natural enamel, protecting teeth and potentially sealing exposed nerve channels that cause sensitivity. The UK researchers hope they have channeled the power of keratin in human hair into a daily toothpaste or professional applied gel that can target problem areas. Gator, a toothpaste made out of human hair. Would you use that?
I mean, yeah, if it protects the teeth. I mean, it's not like I'm flossing with, you know, strands and locks of hair.
You don't want to floss with that hair, man.
Right? I mean, it's just, you know, it's the keratin that's extracted from the hair. So, yeah, if it makes sense for me, if my dentist said, yeah, this is...
What, 4 out of 5 dentists recommend it?
Yeah, I need a dental recommendation.
Can you?
What does the UK know about tooth
well, that's
repair
a,
and toothpaste and
question.
Teeth? No, I'm out, man.
Yeah, I'm out, too. I'm just... There's nothing more disgusting than... Human hair. I don't want any.
Doug's anti-hair, as you can tell.
We've been able to
have been for years.
Right?
I come by it naturally.
Yeah, right.
What we've done is extracted the keratin from the strand of hair, and we've made a way to, we've concocted a sort of formula. It's able to protect the incisors and the bicuspid.
Yeah. And so yes for Gator, no for Kang and I.
It's too late for us in London, but apparently. Right. Yes. Unfortunately, it does nothing to whiten the stains from constant tea drinking.
Right.
The Earl Grey.
The crumpets stay in the teeth.
Yeah.
Bangers and mash and all, you know, whatnot.
And finally, interesting collab between Campbell's Chunky Soup and Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. It's soup for football season. The craveability of chunky soup and the smooth taste of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Two flavors. Beer cheese with potatoes and chorizo soup packed with a savory chorizo sausage and hearty potatoes simmered in a creamy cheese infused with Pabst Blue Ribbon flavor. Or beef bacon and beer chili with beans featured seasoned beef, hearty beans, smoky bacon, all infused with Pabst Blue Ribbon beer flavor. Gator, either of these, are you going to eat them?
Yeah. So be it. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen. But look, I mean, cheese soup, I like cheese, the potato cheese soup. I love that. And if you think about it, you know, adding beer to a soup or adding beer to chili, have you ever done that before?
I never have, actually.
Okay. Well, I've done it with chili for sure. And I've heard of beer soup, beer cheese soup. So, yeah, it's made with beer.
Doug, whenever you introduce these, by the way, when you say it's a collab, I often wonder if it's going to be soup beer or beer soup, because you never say it at the beginning. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out which I would like better.
Is it going
to
be, yeah.
Is it chunky? Is it chunky beer?
Would you like a chunky beer? So Gator's a yes. Yeah. Kang, you?
Yeah, see, I like my beer cold, my soup hot. I'm completely confused by this. I have no idea. Like, what is this coming in as? Just because of that, I'm out. I'm going to say no.
I think I'm out too, although I would tell you.
Would you try the cheese potato one?
Well, it's got chorizo in it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So if there was like a chicken noodle or something like that, but I might give it a shot. I'm intrigued.
It was a white chicken chili with pass blue.
Yeah, that might be something. I would give that a shot.
All right.
No doubt about it.
Doug would keep trying the Guinness soup, but he wouldn't like it every time.
Every year.
I keep trying it.
No. And I would wash it down with the Glow from Nectar Juice Bar. There it is. Another edition. Are you going to eat that? Gator? Oh, I got some college football news we want to get to. Additionally, NFL power rankings. Saw the first ones. I want you right now, you and Kang, to write down where you think the Lions rank and who they're behind. If anyone, we will get to that today at 12:50 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, if it's time for you to get new garage doors, either just not working the way you want them to, or you just want a different kind of style altogether, call the great folks over at Precision Garage Door Service, and they're going to come out and help you pick out the perfect garage doors for your home. They did that with me a few years ago, and I could not be happier. The guys came out to the house, walked me through the entire process, went through all the different options I have, and there's lots of options for garage doors, and they were installed in no time. In fact, they've got a warehouse that's chock full of garage doors just waiting for you, which means it's quite possible you can have a garage door installed in less than 24 hours. Give them a call today at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or visit them on the web and schedule an appointment at your convenience at precisiondoormi.com. That's precisiondoormi.com.
It's too late for us. That was very funny.
The damage has been done to our teeth for years. It's generational.
It can't be fixed.
Well, no matter how much hair you brush your teeth with.
Doug, it's the extract from the keratin in the hair.
Yep.
How many people do you think are just going to like go to barbershops and start scarring their teeth with the hair?
People would never do that. They would never actually.
Florida, man.
That. Yeah. People would never actually inject bleach.
Newcastle, man.
Yeah.
Birmingham, man.
Essex, man.
Yes.
All right. Michigan State's named their captains, college football. Aiden Childs amongst them. I mean, captain's naming is always a great honor for any football team. Any comments?
It's Aiden Childs, the second time captain with his team. I think that speaks well of him. Obviously, he has to be the leader of this team, being the quarterback. Quindarius Dunnigan, Jordan Hall, or a couple other guys that are on defense. I think it's a good sign that Jordan Hall is a captain. He's a guy I mentioned yesterday that, you know, he needs to step up, and I think he can, and that they're putting this on him. It's you know, they're asking him to be a leader. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how this works out. I think a lot gets made out of the captaincies, and in the end, I really feel like there's probably two captains, a leader on the offense and a leader on defense.
On the Michigan front, the football gods giveth and the football gods taketh away. They lose on their current roster. Andrew Babaloa has apparently a reported knee injury and is likely done for the year. A five-star offensive tackle. This morning, they got a commitment from a five-star running back, Savion Hyder, who is a top 10 prospect in the country. So, you know, Babaloa was in the running for the left tackle spot. That spot was Evan Link, Andrew Babaloa, the true freshman, and Blake Frazier, who showed some promise last year and behind the scenes got hurt. He is Frazier and Link are in the mix here. But and then the other news, just breaking, CJ Carr from Saline High School and Lloyd Carr's grandson has been named the starting quarterback in Notre Dame. Do you see where their who their opener is?
No. Who was their opener?
Notre Dame at Miami.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Down in the Orange Bowl or whatever the hell that stadium's called. Joe Robbie, a Hard Rock Robbie Bowl orange thing is where they'll play that game. And that might be the Sun. I think that's the Sunday night game.
Well, it needs to be a night because the humidity during the day is going to be unbearable.
Yep. So CJ Carr will get the start when Miami plays. But Miami hosts Notre Dame on Sunday, August 31st. Okay. Power rankings. So these come out. And I just wondered, Gator, if you could, well, I want you to list all the teams until you get to the Lions. Off the top of your head, what do you think those rankings should look like?
I think Philadelphia, Buffalo, Detroit.
It's got the Lions three.
I did a top five. I added Baltimore at four and Kansas City at five.
Okay. And Kang, how would you list them?
I have the same top five, not in the same order.
Okay.
I've got Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Lions.
One of you got it exactly right.
Well, I'm glad it was one of us, Gator.
Right?
In the number one spot, according to ESPN.com, is the Philadelphia Eagles. At number two, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Way to go, Kang.
Number three, the Buffalo Bills. Number four, the Baltimore Ravens. And number five, the Detroit Lions.
So three teams from the AFC.
Yep.
Good luck with it.
Good luck with what?
I don't know. I just felt like saying There's no
AFC bias
reason
there.
To bring up the Marco from Tripoya good luck. Right. You know, it just... It's a general response that I get.
So anyway.
Hey, Scott, how are you? Nice. I can't explain why it came out of my mouth that way. Same thing here.
What was the story?
I drove with my buddy.
One of the best of all time.
We drove to his to New Jersey, where he was staying in New Jersey and working there. And he was staying with his grandparents, and his aunt came over because his aunt lived next door, and she comes over and my friend Guy says, Aunt Elaine, this is Gator. And she goes, hi, Scott. How are you doing? Or hi, Gator. How are you doing? Like I said, nice. Instead of nice to meet you, I'm doing fine. It just came out as nice.
You just shortened it.
Yeah. And my buddies, his cousins were there with these two girls, and they were probably 10 years younger than we used. They were like in their early teenage years. They burst out laughing and could not stop laughing for about 10 minutes. And it just made me feel even worse.
I mean, I feel like...
That was a great trip.
Just as our gender, we're always doing embarrassing things. Yeah. That's such a great one.
I think I was like 24 years old.
Nice.
23 years or something. It was a great trip. A lot of fun, that trip. I went to one of the girls' softball games.
Sounds like a nice trip.
It was nice. One of the girls' softball games, we're up on the hill on the first base side, and we're pretty elevated, probably 25, 30 feet above the playing surface. Foul ball comes our way. I caught the foul ball, and everybody's nice. Like, oh, nice catch. And I looked, and then I just spiked it into the ground. And his cousin was like playing, I don't know if she was pitching or playing third base or whatever it was. She puts a glove over her face. It's like, what are you doing? Like, I'm a goofball. I was going to. We don't do that in softball. Don't spike the ball.
We don't spike it. No.
Okay.
All right. So, NFL power rankings from ESPN. We mentioned the Lions are five behind Philadelphia, one, Kansas City, two, Buffalo, three, Baltimore, four, the Lions, five.
Good luck with that.
Nice. Washington is six. Green Bay is seven.
Okay.
I'm intrigued to see where Chicago is because Chicago, these rankings just came out. There's no way these rankings can be impacted by the preseason game they just played where they routed Cincinnati. Who do they play?
Buffalo.
I'm sorry. They were out of Buffalo like 38-0. Cincinnati played Washington last night. Wires crossed. They killed Buffalo.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, hopefully they wouldn't be impacted by that. If you're going to, however you rank Chicago, do so at your own peril. I don't know what to expect from them. I mean, I think they have a lot of weapons. They've invested a lot in the offensive line. And if Caleb Williams has time, it's going to be, he could be trouble for you. But the Washington pick to me is interesting because they're having problems with Brian Robinson Jr., the running back. He's their best running back by far. And they're taking calls on him to trade him. Mm-hmm. If they don't have a viable running game outside, I mean, their quarterback was their leading rusher last year in Jaden Daniels. But if you don't have a running back there, that could be an issue for them. Austin Eckler is their second string running back, and you know he's fine, but he's not, you know, a top tier run the ball running back. He's a weapon on the backfield because he can catch the football. But I mean, this would be a big problem for the Commanders moving forward. I mean, this is a guy who ran for 800 yards last year in 14 games. Daniels led the team with 891 yards rushing last year. Is he going to have to carry the ball even more? And if he does, I'm a big fan of Jaden Daniels, but
good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Good luck. That's the better use of it.
So Washington at 6, Green Bay at 7. We'll get to where Chicago is. The Rams are 8, Cincinnati 9, Minnesota 10.
Minnesota is, I mean, here's the logic behind why they would be at 10. They were a good football team last year.
Yep.
And they had, at best, an average quarterback. At best, mm-hmm. right? But they made the most out of Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold was able to get a contract out of it. Not with the Vikings, but he got a contract. They're going at it with a brand new quarterback who you have no idea what he is. You know, spent last year hurt, but probably knows the system pretty well. There's some good reports out of Minnesota with how they feel about J.J. McCarthy. But the weapons didn't change. He still has great weapons to work with, and that could be a potent offense, and they've added some pieces to the defense. The Vikings, they're going to be a tough out every week. I just don't know if they're going to be winning games every week because we don't know about the quarterback play.
Denver 11, Houston 12, Tampa 13, Chargers 14, San Francisco 15, Pittsburgh 16, Seattle 17, Dallas 18, Atlanta 19. You tell me when to stop. 20, Miami. 21, Chicago.
I was going to say 22.
So that is the first power rankings from ESPN. The Lions check in at 5, Green Bay 7, Minnesota 10, and the Bears 22.
I tend to overvalue Houston every year. I'm going to do it again this year.
I do that with Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to overvalue Houston. I think, where are they, 11 or 12?
Houston's 12.
Yeah. I think that's low for them. I think C.J. Stroud is poised to have a better year. Will Anderson has gotten better every season he's been in the league. Danielle Hunter on the other side, those two, I mean, that's the best tandem of edge rushers you have in football. So I'm a little bit... big on Houston.
Cleveland 30, New Orleans 31, Tennessee is 32.
Do they know that Joe Flacco is going to start?
I think they might. There it is. First power rank is the year from ESPN.
Who was 32?
Tennessee, the team I typically
and 31 was?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay. Where was New England?
La la la. Go back and look here.
Curious about the Patriots. New coach. They got a lot. They spent a lot of money this offseason. They like Drake May at
23
quarterback.
23 is New England.
So. We'll see.
Carson Anderson, 97-1 the ticket.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.